start here. Well, let's open up in prayer this morning. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, God, that you are God. Yes. Lord, this morning we recognize you as God. And all that we need, Lord. Lord, we just ask this morning that you would use me, your servant, Lord. And that you would open up my mouth to speak your words. You give me boldness. And that you would prophetically speak through me this morning. That you would open up the words and apply them through me, Lord, in a way that is easily understood. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been so blessed. As I study for a sermon, I go through a kind of a process. And for me, it's been, I don't know how it is for others, but for me, it's the same every time. It's that until there's a moment in studying, and there's a moment that I have just a peace that comes over me. And it's this God thing that's released in me. And it's just, oh, I know what God wants me to share. I know. I mean, there's not a doubt, but it's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. And my only concern after that is that I don't get in the way and that I share everything that He intends to share with His body through me. And that is my desire this morning. I've been so thankful for the words that God has shared with us over the last several weeks, where, as Jason mentioned last week, he presented the question to the body of what if God was going to write a letter to you, what would that letter entail? And Josh came and shared with us about first love, and he shared his testimony on first love, and he said that he felt like God was wanting us to return to that first love. And then Jason last week, he mentioned that in Josh's testimony, that there was a response to that question that Jason has posed a couple weeks prior, and that specifically to this body, God wanted to, there were some positive things, just like the letter to the Ephesians. There's some positive things that we're doing, but we needed to come back to our first love. And I kind of want to continue on in that vein. Jason ended last week by saying that he challenged us and he wanted us to fall upon the rock, Jesus. And that is so important for us. There are so many things that would be fixed in our lives if we just get connected to the Lord. He's the source. He's the source of everything that we need. And this morning, we'll start in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and then we're going to Ephesians next. And I wanted to start out by kind of sharing, there's a need that the world has, a need, a common need that we all have, and it's found in God. God is very jealous of His own glory. That is the thing that God cares about more than anything else. That what He does and everything that He does flows out of Him being concerned about His own glory and Him being jealous over His own glory. I start out in verse 17, chapter 1 of Romans. It says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And that word "hold" literally means to hold back. "So for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold back the truth in unrighteousness. Another way to say that would be who suppress. Some of your translations might say suppress the truth in righteousness. So he's getting to the point that there is a truth that unrighteous men suppress. And we'll get to what he's talking about here. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. So, God shown something that the unrighteous are suppressing. And then God has shown them. That's just really important to get. Verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So when someone says, I don't believe there is a God, they're suppressing the truth. The Bible says here in Romans that it is clearly seen by creation, the things that are made, is clearly understood that there is a Creator God. And in that, in order to move past that and to deny that, there has to be a suppression of truth. And in that suppression, there's an exchange he's going to get to here in a second. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. God, I already mentioned, is consumed with His own glory. He is jealous over His own glory. And those that are unrighteous, that suppress the truth in unrighteousness, that although they, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They didn't praise Him as God. They didn't recognize Him as God. Neither were thankful. That's another thing. God wants us to recognize Him, and He wants us to be thankful. There's so much for us to be thankful in that we are here this morning. There is an existence that we live in that is from God, and that's enough to be thankful. Let alone all the other things, it's enough to be thankful. We should glorify Him as God and be thankful to Him. But because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, the last part of the verse, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'm going to go to Daniel 4. Probably should have had a bookmark or something. Okay. So Daniel chapter 4, and this is King Nebuchadnezzar, as he is warned in a dream, and Daniel comes and gives an interpretation of the dream, and he warns him. He's in verse 27 of chapter 4 says, wherefore, O king, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, we don't have time this morning. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. And then it says, verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And verse 30 is where we're getting to it. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I've built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? So as he rejected God, he suppressed the truth that it is God who is in control. He's the Creator God. And then he became conceited and vain in his own mind, and he took credit for everything that was done. And then, it's a great story. I'm going to have to skip over it. But verse 34 says, at the end of the days, after 7 years, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored Him that lived forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. So it was when he lifted up his eyes to heaven, he acknowledged God as God, that his understanding returned to him. That is really important. Going back to Romans, we just finished verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar did. He professed himself to be wise and great, and he became an utter fool. And it wasn't, like I said, until he acknowledged God, and he looked up to heaven, and he acknowledged God, that his sanity returned to him. Okay, and so there's two exchanges that Romans mentions here. So verse 23, and changed, this is talking to them that professed to be wise and became fools. They suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, did not acknowledge God in their hearts, and they were not thankful. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So they changed the glory of God into an image. So they were worshiping. Let's get this right. Man was made in God's image. They were worshiping a copy of a copy of a copy of God's glory. They didn't acknowledge God. They suppressed the truth in unrighteousness, and they worshiped a copy of a copy of a copy. So they traded God's glory. They traded something that was so valuable for something that was worth nothing. It was worth a copy. Imagine a diamond ring, and someone takes that diamond ring and says, "Well, to make it more affordable to other people and something that looks really pretty, let's make a cubic zirconia," or I don't know how to say that, ring that looks a lot like it. But the value isn't, it's a copy of the diamond ring. It's not even real gold, but it's pretty and it looks very similar. And then someone takes that and says, "Well, let's make a plastic little kid's ring that looks close." And so that's what they traded. They traded the diamond ring for a copy of a copy. Does that make sense? Does that sound like a good exchange? It doesn't sound like one to me, right? "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." So God, this is part of God's wrath that's being poured out, is for us to receive those, His creation, to receive what would later be said is the just recompense, their reward. So God will give us over to that which we really want, if we really want Him, we're connected to Him. That's great. But if we want something other than Him, and we suppress the truth and unrighteousness, and we don't acknowledge Him as God, and what we say we want is what something that He created, is a copy of a copy of a copy. It's not something that we're suppressing Him. We don't want Him. We want to rule our own lives, and we're looking at these other things. He'll let us have what the end result of that is. And He gives us over to depraved minds. Second exchange. And they changed the truth of God. So they changed the glory of God. Verse 23 and verse 25 said they changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll go to verse chapter 1 next. So that's the bad news. That's how we all got to depravity. That's how we get chapter 2, verse 1. And here's the thing about news, is if someone gives advice versus news here. someone gives advice, they're telling you how you could do something different, right? But when you get news, you're hearing about something that's already been done, right? So what we need is not really good advice. We don't need really good advice. We need good news. And that's what we have with the gospel. We have good news for the condition of the world that's around us. So as God's consumed with His glory, as we're looking to Him, we're able to receive that good news. We're able to be in Christ, which we're going to look at here in a little bit. And then we're able to share that good news with those around us. We don't need to share good advice, just good advice. We need to share the good news, because what we need is in Christ. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 1. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the concourse of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy," God is rich in mercy. Isn't that amazing? "For His great love, wherewith He loved us." There's two things that this morning, as you're thinking about God, God is rich. He's got everything that we need. He is rich and He's not stingy. He is rich and He's not stingy. And when we look at things, we look at our own resources, right? When we look at our circumstances and we go, okay, I know that I can't do that because I don't have the resources to make that happen. And yet, we have a God that is rich. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in love. He's rich in grace. He's rich in peace. He's not going to run out. I mean, wouldn't it be embarrassing to serve a God that kept on going bankrupt? Right? That God's continually going bankrupt. And we, oh man, God's bankrupt again. I guess I'm going to have to wait on that peace till that cash, you know, that check clears. Then I get the peace. God's not bankrupt. He's got what we need. "So God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved." In verse 6 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, "and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus." Let's go to chapter 1. We're looking at Ephesians, and Paul is writing a letter, and he's writing this letter to the Ephesians from prison. So many of us this morning, we're looking at our resources. We're low on resources, and we can be stingy at times. And yet God is rich, and He's not stingy. And we're looking at our resources and what we have. And a lot of the things that we're focused on are we're a small body. There's things going on in our body that is we're all aware of. Tim, we're aware of your situation, what's happening with you. All of us are going through different things. Eric, I know you're busy. We've all got things going on. And yet when we're reading Ephesians, we're listening to a man who is sitting in a prison cell who there's a lot of things he doesn't even have the ability to be concerned about. And yet, as he is writing the letter to the Ephesians, he is telling them about the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And some of us could say this morning, if we're looking at our own circumstances, that I don't feel too rich in Christ Jesus. But yet Paul was suffering for the sake of the gospel, And He's going to tell us something different. Because sometimes what we think we need isn't what we really need. Sometimes what we think we need is, once we get it, that doesn't fix our problems. What we really need is to be in Christ, which is what we're going to start reading here in a second. What we really need, and that was chapter 2. He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is something that transcends anything that we're going through on this earth. That's it. That transcends every single circumstance that we could be going through this morning. We're rich in Him. But outside of Him, we have nothing. So when we're talking as a church about first love, what we're talking about is right worship. We're talking about being in Christ. We're talking about going back to that thing that is being in Him, that is the source of every good thing, everything that we need, and being in Christ. We are not poor. We are not poor in Christ. So verse 1 of chapter 1 in Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That word faithful is believers. So that's you and me. So he's saying to the saints that are in Ephesus and to the saints. So that's us. He says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's something we can receive this morning. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, let us receive grace from you this morning and peace from you this morning. That transcends everything we're going through. Verse 3, blessed be. So here's a blessing on the church. And then next he says, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Something that I found out as I'm studying this scripture, the verse 3 through 14, is all one sentence in the Greek. So as we're reading this, just keep in mind that there's so much in each verse that's been separated out. But in the Greek, it's all one sentence that runs together. And he's so specific about what he's trying to share to the Ephesians and what he's trying to share to us. He's saying, bless Lord, you Lord, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When Jesus was talking to His disciples in John 14, I believe, when He says, I am in the Father. And then later He says, you in me and I'm in the Father. So when we're in Christ, we're in the Father. We have access to the Father. We're in Christ. That is such a privileged place to be. Who were once, Ephesians 2, 19 says, for we're once strangers and foreigners, and but now we are fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God. We were at one time far off, and now we're near. We're in Christ. Verse 4, according to as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. That word predestined is before ordained. And it's just a beautiful thing to recognize. And you know, I hope we can all get here this morning. one, God's God and I'm not. Right? So God's God and I'm not. Sometimes I miss the point. Sometimes I'm worried about something and I totally miss it. Once something that God showed me one time, and the name Howell means seeing clearly. And I thought, oh, that's pretty good. I like to see, you know, that's really important to me. And it's kind of a Howell thing, I think it is for a lot of people, but kind of a Howell thing. We like to see things clearly and know what's right. And it's beyond just the family that you guys see. It's my grandparents and my uncles. And it's an important thing to get things right. But one of the things that the Lord showed me as I was considering what the name meant was, He said, be careful, because sometimes you can see things so clearly you miss the point. You can look at all the details, all the little things, and feel like you can just put your finger on that and yet miss the point of the whole thing. And that's what we're talking about this morning, about first love. Is here we don't want to be so involved in the processes, the things that are going on around us, and miss the point of that being in Christ and having what we need in Christ Jesus. And He's before ordained us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace. He is consumed with His glory. And that He wants us to be in awe of His glory and His grace. He is pleasurable to Him for us to receive grace from Him this morning. According to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Keep in mind, this is all one sentence. Verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So as I said, I want to continue on in that vein, that we need to come back to that first love. We need to come back to understanding that what we need is in Christ. He's got all I need. He's got everything that I need. Amen. He's got everything that you need. So what we think we need sometimes isn't what we really need. We need to be in Him. We need to receive what He has for us. We have access to the joy and to the peace and all the fruit of the Spirit in Him. Everything that we need on this earth. When I'm bankrupt on anything, and I'm working and I'm in my flesh and trying to make things happen, it's just pushing me further out. I need to stop what I'm doing and turn and say, Lord, what I need is in You. And that's what I want to encourage all of us this morning to do, and anybody who might listen to this at a later time, is, and it's just so simple. This is all I have to share with you this morning. This is it. Is that what we need is in Christ. It's in Him. And as Paul is writing this letter, there's so much more here. But I really felt like God was telling me, just keep it, keep this super simple. Don't try to go crazy theological on people, which I'm not even capable of doing, but I could try. Don't try to get all crazy with stuff, but keep it simple and just proclaim the truth that what we need is in Christ. And we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, if we are in Christ Jesus. Amen? All right. Well, I hope this morning that as you think about your week, this coming week, and you think about what you're facing, the circumstances, that you're able to look past your circumstances for a moment, and that you're able to just delve right into Christ. And He cares about those other things. I'm not trying to say He doesn't care. I've got things that are way heavy on me. And it wasn't till really this release that I received by reading this and by studying, and I just felt a peace that came over me, and I desire that you would receive the same thing. And just recognizing what I need is in Him. So, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before You this morning, Lord, recognizing You as God and that we're not, Lord. And we thank You for that, Lord. We recognize You as God. We know that You're consumed with the desire to be glorified as God and be recognized in God and be thanked for who You are, Lord. So this morning, we do thank You, Lord. Thank You for what You've done in our lives, Lord. We recognize You, God, this morning. And Lord, we look to You this morning as our source for everything that we really need, God. Lord, don't let us go back to thinking about the physical things and the things that are frustrating us this morning in our flesh, Lord, the same. Don't let us go back to looking at those things in the same way, Lord. Let us look to You first in everything that we're doing, that all other things will be added after that, Lord. Let help us, Lord, to recognize that as we're in You, God, we have everything that we need, Lord. Lord, we thank You for the privilege, God, of being in Christ, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.